This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Everybody, this go. Baseballs and Boring is back. Last week was a confluence of awfulness. Except for that you guys were on, Gordo.
Except for what?
You guys were on. It was a confluence of awfulness, like rain delays and scheduling and everything. I didn't have a show.
You're saying because we were on the air. Yeah, no,
last week not because you were on the air.
On
no,
what?
That was the opposite. Last Saturday, when the Baseball Isn't Boring show was on,
yes.
Correct? Last week, we were supposed to be on a certain team because it was a doubleheader. Yeah, yeah, all right.
Last okay. week yeah. on Saturday, yeah, that
all
was
right,
a whole.
All right, all right. Mitch yelled McFarland. Let's go.
McFarland!
Oh, see, there's a little like accent aigu at the end.
He's definitely getting better at it.
Yeah, okay. All right, Joe Braverman, producer for the Play Tessie podcast, is here. He just walked in. Didn't even ask my permission. Did he? Come on. Turn your mic on.
No, I literally just
walked
in.
You literally
in.
Walked in. Yeah. Like you won a contest.
Well, we had a mission. Me and Gordo had a mission.
I don't care about Gordo. Is Gordo's name on this program, Joe?
No, it's not.
You just walked in. So if you're going to walk in, you have to earn your keep, okay?
So let's hear it.
McFarland.
Oh, jeez.
Come on, get a little closer to the mic. Up the volume.
I have done this. I've shouted McFarland
many
times. Yeah,
from that side of the glass.
Yeah, this is different, Joe.
This is different. This is part of this is you walk in to the Baseballs and Boring show, all right? You know I value your skill, your expertise. You do a great job with Play Tessie. There's a vetting process when it comes to this show. All right, Joe? Yell McFarland.
McFarland!
Better. See?
It's like he brings his voice up, but the volume, when you're talking, it almost sounds like your voice is louder than when you're screaming McFarland.
Well, I'm trying not to blow everyone's ears out.
Because
if you actually yell,
out.
I probably right. shouldn't.
Okay. All right.
McFarland.
Gordon, thank. That's very good. Very economical.
McFarland.
All right, we appreciate McFarland for sponsoring this fine show. This is Baseballs and Boring Show, 617-779-7937. This is an easy one. Like I said at the outset with the crossover with Mego and Shime that, you know, this is the challenge, like much like the Chilean miners, you know, they're sticking the straw through the ground. We also are challenged every time we have to react to either a win or a loss in the big picture of a baseball season. If they lost last night, the acceptance of this team that they were going to be good would have been about 5%, correct?
If that.
Okay.
If that.
5%. Because they've won, the acceptance probably has gone up to 30%.
Yeah.
And Abraham Toro is going to win the MVP.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Who says no trade for Abraham Toro, Joe? Paul Skeens? Yeah. All right.
Yeah, pretty much. Right.
I think Jackson Merrill for Abraham Toro makes a lot of sense for both sides.
I love the Jackson Merrill for Paul Skeens. Anyway.
Personally, Bo Bichette would be my pick.
Yeah.
Bo Bichette for Abraham Toro.
Another reason you should not have walked in the door. You should have earned the right to be part of this show, and you will earn it. I know you will, Joe, because I know that you have it in you. Anyway, so this is the challenge that we face, but it does not change, fellas. The overall problems or challenges that this team faces going forward. Are they in it? Yes. Do they feel better about themselves than they did on Wednesday and Thursday? Yes. Are the problems solved? No, we cannot say that. We cannot just say, and this is a dangerous thing, with Sadan Rafael getting a couple hits, Christian Campbell getting a couple hits, Abraham Toro going 3-for-3.
Trevor Story
hitting home run. Although, I don't even lump that in. Like Trevor's story was you were gonna have to ride him out for another month anyway, so he might as well hit, right?
Well, if Bregman didn't get hurt, the noise would have gotten pretty loud to get Meyer up here to play some shortstop.
But he did get hurt, and that's where we were.
You're right.
And
you were gonna have to ride.
People were
out
like,
that point. You're right.
The screaming and yelling over the last week about different solutions to what ailed the Red Sox. Some of it was justified. Some of it was stupid. And you know, I think that the DFAing or sitting down Trevor Story, you don't do that. It just doesn't happen. And like, so that wasn't a logical thing considering what you have here. And I think that what is logical, and I think that if we're going to look at the positive of what came out of last night and the positive of how you feel about things going forward, is that with Bregman out, they, unlike first base, they do feel like they have a solution at third base in Marcelo Meyer. And that image of him, of getting up after making that play and pounding his chest, like that is the thing that should hit for Red Sox fans. Of all this other stuff,
don't forget the cop. The cop's look
and the cop and like, I mean, oh my goodness, that like iconic. Looking like a drumstick.
Oh my god.
Like, oh my goodness, yeah. So you have, but you get up. He gets up, pounds his chest. You have the cop looking at him like, you know, he's, I don't know.
He's a slice of birthday cake.
Exactly. So you have that, but you have that. That is the vibe, the attitude, the image that you want from this team. Everything that Marcelo Meyer put on display, making the good play, getting up, pounding his chest, being confident, and then being the envy of somebody else, having the aura, right? Right, Joe? You want the aura. You have aura.
I mean, you guys can say I have aura. I don't personally think I have any aura.
Oh, come on, Joe.
Come on, Joe.
We need some self-confidence
here. Come on, let's go.
I'm just saying, compared to Marcelo Meyer.
Can
like,
we see me? Can
he's
we?
Like, but that kid's made of aura.
I just figured out what Joe's payment for being here is in studio. It's in the break. We are going to simulate. Joe's going to play Marcelo Meyer, and we're going to simulate the entire thing. You have to dive. You have to get up. You have to pound your chest. And then we're going to have to actually have somebody come in here and look at you like, you know, you're
Mitch. That's a job for Mitch.
I like it.
How good are your acting skills?
All right. So,
not very good, but we're ready.
So anyway, that was a good thing. Like, that was a step in the right direction. The win was a step in the right direction. That was a step in the right direction. Now I get to the other part, the bigger picture that has come out this week. And yes, I mean, part of it were the interviews that happened on Thursday on this very radio station, starting with Breslow. There was a lot to pick through with that. I'm going to ask you guys, I know for me in that Breslow conversation, what was uneasy about it. I know for me, you guys both heard it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yep.
Gordo, what do you got?
Well, to me, I thought the obvious standout portion of that interview was the Roman Anthony conversation. And anytime Craig Breslow is forced to answer the questions as to why Roman Anthony is not up here and is not getting called up today, tomorrow, whatever, he doesn't have a real answer, because the true answer is they're manipulating his service time. So
No, I don't think that's the true answer. I don't.
What do you think the answer is?
I think that they're.
You think they actually think he has more to prove in AAA?
I think they're trying to be too smart for the situation. I mean, honestly, you bring up Marcelo Meyer, right? Okay, you bring up Marcelo Meyer. Like, everything that they've said about Marcelo Meyer, even in that interview, about Roman Anthony, even in that interview, you could have said about Marcelo Meyer, yet Marcelo Meyer's on the major league team. Like, everything. So,
but they were forced to call Marcelo up.
Okay, right. But I think they should be forced to call up Roman Anthony. I know I'm not arguing for myself about what I'm saying very well, but at the same time, what they have is they have the excuse of keep riding with Sidan Rafaela, because look at, oh my goodness, 10 runs saved. He's far and away the best in baseball.
Yep.
Yay for him. Look at it, he just got 2 hits. He's all right. Because that's the avenue right there, right? That's the avenue. So Sidan Rafaela moving to the infield is the avenue. And that's the avenue which they can lean on and say, we don't need to take that. We don't need to take that road. Even though not only Sidan Rafaela is he uncomfortable most times at the plate, but also Christian Campbell, that part of the equation is bizarre to me as well. Like when, and I know that when I tweeted that out, Gordo, about like his comment about how, I forget what he said about, he has more developing to do, right?
Yep.
And meanwhile, you have Christian Campbell desperately trying to develop at the major league level while having literally the worst OPS in all of baseball in the month of May. Why?
Having to learn multiple positions at the same time as he's struggling. It's a lot.
None of that makes sense.
No, I agree.
None of that makes sense.
And they keep talking about not wanting to make the prospects the saviors. And Breslow said that in his interview about Roman Anthony. Meanwhile,
then why did Marcelo? Why do you have two of these guys up here?
Marcelo's hitting cleanup at times, and
Christian Campbell's playing.
It's a lot.
Joe, what's your thoughts?
I mean, I was very surprised at how detailed Breslow was, considering giving the explanation for Roman Anthony, because how many word salads have we heard from him about?
Well, what are you talking about? Like detail?
He gave not a detailed explanation, but he was actually more concise with why Roman Anthony was.
Why? What did he say? No, I'm being honest. Like, when you say concise, tell me what he was concise about.
He was basically saying how he needs to keep working on stuff down in AAA.
But that's not concise. Like, I can say that.
It's also baloney. Like, you look at the numbers, he's 99th, 100th percentile in everything.
So when Will Fleming did a pregame show, and he had to, the one day a week he has to interview a coach, and he interviewed Flo, the first base coach. And so he asked him about, well, you were around Roman Anthony last year in Worcester, and he said the same thing. He's like, oh, he's just working on stuff. That's where you work on stuff. It's like, you know, like sliding. And, like, if I was mean, I could pull that sound and say, look, they're working on sliding. But I get, you know, everybody is trying, and this is why I asked you, Joe, like, what he's being concise about, because I don't think he's being concise about anything.
Right. I'm not saying this is the right thing for him to say, but in terms of all the word salad he's given, I felt like there was more clarity into that, even though we're still very confused.
But I don't understand what clarity was he.
He's giving reasons. I just think they're nonsensical.
Yeah,
reasons.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay,
like, but he's so giving reasons. He's not answering the question. But okay. I just think his answer is nonsense.
But what are the reasons? Like, what are these reasons? Like
that he's still developing in AAA. Okay, that we want him to be able to play.
Yeah,
every
and you can
majors,
pick it apart about like things. Fielding and sliding,
play left
and,
field,
and all this stuff. So I'll turn it around. I'll ask you guys this. You ask me the question, and I know the answer already for you, Gordo, is contract manipulation, right? You think that's what it is?
I think it's a healthy mix of contract manipulation and not knowing how to have the uncomfortable conversations that they would have to have to fit him in there.
Okay. I want to come back to that. Joe, you feel the same way?
I do feel the same way, not as strongly. I just think they see it as less of a need than we do, because they know that he's going to be in the outfield and there's no place to put him because Duran is an everyday guy.
And you said that
is the thing right there.
They are
obsessing over that.
Are they though, Rob? Or is it a crutch?
I think it's both. I think they're obsessing and it is a crutch. It's an easy crutch to have. But, you know, at the same time, we go back to last night's game and the week leading up to it, fellas, that the problem is that you do not have a lineup that can consistently score runs. If you do not have the hero that is Abraham Toro.
He was a hero doing what he is.
You're heading into late innings with one run again.
And they're scoring, like the Braves are probably scoring more. They had two runs on the board and two in scoring position, and Bernie facing Austin Riley. Like they might add on.
So this comes back to the bigger picture this week, and I want people to weigh in 617-779-7937. But the bigger picture here is one of the other takeaways from the Breslow interview, particularly, is like what is going on in terms of how things are being managed. Like there was the Crochet answer. I thought was so telling. And I said this to you guys before, did I not? When the 85 pitch thing came up, right? Everyone was railing on Cora. It was an easy target.
Yeah.
Cora took him out. What's Cora doing? What's going on? And I told you, listen to him before the game.
He did say it. He said they were going to hold him back.
No, he didn't say that.
He said we have to be careful with
him. He said we have to be careful with him. But he actually went on, and Joe knows this because he listens to everything. He went on the afternoon show and said the exact opposite. That day he said the exact opposite. He's like, I couldn't tip my hand and everything else. But in the media session, he says, to your point, we gotta be careful, and there's smarter people than I am making this decision. Right?
Yep.
Which was exactly what happened. It was the research and development, whatever, the baseball science, whatever you want to call it, which Craig Breslow admitted. And they can say it's a collaborative process. But still, in Alex Cora's world of managing, here's my question. Has Alex Cora ever had to be that collaborative with a front office in terms of this many decisions? Because, yes, he worked with Breslow last year. But there's more people, there's more voices, there's more of this, there's more information. And sometimes they'll say, information, all this information is of value? Well, sometimes it isn't. That was a no-brainer. What baseball science department should have said that day was, yeah, we get it. 85 pitches, protecting this guy and everything else. But you didn't look at the other part of the science. There's no bullpen. You didn't look at the other part of the science.
No, you're right. It was
black
and
white. You desperately need to keep this momentum going for a team that's looking for momentum. Like, you, those 15 pitches that we're talking about, it is more valuable to use those 15 pitches with Garrett Crochet in that point. Science, which we love, science would dictate that it's more important to use those 15 pitches because of those things that I mentioned.
And then he went 105 pitches his next start.
Which, so again,
it would have been so easy to just push it down the road. And my take on the whole thing, though, Rob, is they probably lose that game anyway, because even if Crochet finishes that inning, you are still at some point that game going to need to ask for two from Hendricks, and that's where it would have all gone down the tubes. But I agree. It's just it's the principle of a department that is not concerned necessarily with baseball. It's more so concerned with health. They're going to give they're going to give what their data suggests. They're going to tell you what they think. And it should be up to you as the manager to decide, okay, this is the right time. I agree with you. We do need to be careful with this guy. This is a guy who didn't throw more than four innings in the second half last year. We got to be careful. But when is the right time to be careful?
And let me give you the other part of, I know we're going to go to a break with Trent, with Mitch, but we can pick through this, and people can as well. And I know that the other shows leading up to this show have as well. And I think that, you know, I don't want to be the surface level person, right? I don't want to just say, oh my goodness, what a mess. But very real things have come up which haven't come up before in terms of trying to figure out how you can get this whole the trolley on the tracks. Like, this is what we're talking about. No matter how you do it, maybe it's a little less analytics, maybe it's a little more, maybe it's a little more gut decision, maybe it's a little less, whatever it is. But how do you get this trolley on the tracks? I have my solution. You guys have your solutions. But what I don't want to hear is what I heard in that, also in our interview, was, I think, I forget who asked it, said, well, how do you weigh gut decisions versus analytical decisions? Well, we measure how many times there's gut decisions work, and we measure how many times analytical decisions work. Oh, my God. I wanted to tear whatever hair I had out. Like, it's not. It's just like, and that's what, I think that, guys, that's what we're coming back to. Joe Braverman and Gordo of the Play Tessie podcast with me. That's what we're coming back to. Is there time to figure this out? Yes, there is time to figure it out. But you have to take all this dysfunction, all this discomfort, all of this, and you have to find the way, you have to hit the sweet spot of getting the train on the track. And that includes, by the way, making the tough decisions when it comes to personnel and moving guys around. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they're going to go on this 10-game win streak, which they haven't been on all, like, last year. I think
half a decade, I don't think.
I mean, last year they had a great June. Year before, yeah, they had a great July. But if you, okay. But even if you look at that great June, there was no rhyme or reason to it. They started playing better. Maybe that's it. Maybe they start playing better. I don't know. There's a lot of things to pick through. 617-779-7937. Joe, you have earned the right to be there. That was a test.
I'm glad I passed.
And now we're going to simulate Marcelo Meyer being ogled by a security guard.
Yeah, we didn't forget.
We never forget. Gordo, thank you for being here.
Let's go.
All right. I'm Rob Bradford. This is Baseball Isn't Boring. Mitch is going to trend.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox beat the Braves yesterday 5-1. Trevor Story had a homer as he and Devers both had two RBIs. Abraham Toro had three hits in the win. Lucas Giolito went 4 2/3 innings pitch, one earned run, and three Ks. Here was Abraham Toro on the importance of yesterday's win.
Well, you know, we just had an off day tomorrow, so that gave us a chance to reset. And again, I don't feel like we're playing bad. We just playing every single game. We were on it, and, you know, we've been losing some tight games, and today feels good.
The Red Sox are back in action today at 4:10. Walker Buehler takes the mound for the Sox. Spencer Schwellenbach for the Braves. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Dan Ball has the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10 right here in WEEI. Mass Mutual, insurance planning investments. In the NBA, the Pacers host the Knicks for Game 6 tonight at 8. The Pacers will try and close it out on their home court. They currently have a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. The winner of this series will face the OKC Thunder in the NBA Finals starting June 5th. And in the NHL, the Panthers and the Oilers are in the Stanley Cup Final. Oilers host the Panthers for Game 1 this Wednesday, June 4th at 8 p.m. My name is Mitch Sabatelli, and that's what's trending on WE.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah. Yo, you a big concert guy?
I don't go to a ton of concerts, but I love them whenever I go to.
Okay, what concert was the last concert you went to?
This
is Joe Braverman of Playtesting Podcast, along with Gordo of Playtesting Podcast. I'm Rob Bradford, the Baseball Isn't Boring show / podcast / all things baseball. Anyway, go.
The last concert I went to was a Country Fest at Gillette Stadium last year. That was the big Kenny Chesney.
When you're at a concert, what do you do? Do you bob and weave?
I usually just bop back and forth.
Bop back
along.
And forth. Okay, yeah. Sing along. All right. Wait, Gordo, you seem disgusted.
I'm not disgusted. I'm more so.
He's trying to figure out who Kenny Chesney.
I love Kenny Chesney. I can't think of the last concert I've been to though.
You don't.
But I'm not like
Gordo doesn't do anything other than watch baseball.
He's the most pop culture literate person I've ever met.
It's bad.
We talked about this the other day. I was rattling off baseball movies, For the Love of the Game, Clear the Mechanism. Such great reference.
Bits and pieces. Well, MLB Network.
Well, speaking of bits and pieces, there's bits and pieces of this team that you can say, well, then bits and pieces, like they might actually, it might actually work. And there's bits and pieces where it might not work. By the way, one thing that we know is fully whole, which is Brian Abraham's going to be on it.
Let's go.
Although I've said, here's my agreement with him. This is just behind the curtain. Okay. Is that I said if Roman Anthony gets called up before 2, you have to let us know. And if he doesn't, we won't bother you with the Roman Anthony timeline question. We just won't. Like, I that's the agreement I made.
Because what's he going to say?
But we can ask, like, let's say someone with the name who rhymes with Moman Manthony had some part of his game that needed work. Like, what would that work entail?
Yeah.
No, I won't even ask him that. That's fine. But there's other things to ask. I actually want to ask him about Marcelo Meyer more than maybe even Roman Anthony. Because as you said, you know, Roman Anthony, we're going to get a lot of the Roman Anthony talk.
There's a couple guys I'm...
Ooh, okay.
One in particular.
Oh, got named save it. Save it, 2 o'clock.
All right, yeah. We'll
see. All right, 617-779s. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's hear some. Do we have the we have the Breslow gut versus analytics one, Mitch? Or yes,
we do. Yes.
Okay. Let's hear that one. Here's Craig Breslow in the Greg Hill Show.
In the close games that you lost, and you guys lost a lot of them, balancing going with your gut and just your baseball experience versus the analytics. And maybe saying, all right, well, we can't bring Chapman in for one more inning, or maybe so we have to go with another direction. Like, how do you balance that? Because I feel like in baseball, you know, maybe times when it's close games, you guys should use your gut more than the analytics.
Yeah, I think any answer to that is going to be imperfect. You try to synthesize all of that information in real time, and often you don't have all of the information. You know, what we try to do is just kind of talk about like the decision-making framework, right? Hey, we knew that the best matchup we think is, you know, is kind of predicted by some projection model is this. Here's why it didn't make sense to do that, whether it was, you know, a reliever is tired or we felt like there was an opposing strategy that might, you know, that might conflict with that, or the starter that we had in the game, you know, is throwing really well and that's not captured. So it's not about, you know, never defying what, you know, what the analytics says. I think it's just about being consistent in how you make a decision. And if we're going to rely on our gut regularly, then we should be tracking those decisions and making sure that we're getting them right more than the alternatives. And if we're going to follow the analytics all of the time, then we also need to be tracking that and making sure that we're getting it right, you know, more often than not. And I think where we get in trouble is when you think that, you know, you might know something that that a model doesn't and you don't, or you assume that a model does know something that it doesn't. And so I think understanding what the inputs are and understanding what the blind spots are is how you make the best decision.
All right, that made me even more mad than when I heard it live.
Word salad.
Well, forget about word salad. Like, the biggest, and I'll say this. I think that Breslow has done a lot of great things, really great things. I mean, his offseason was great. Like, A's across the board. You run a rattle.
All of his off-season acquisitions have paid off.
All of them, okay?
Every single one.
But that answer made no sense. And I've been saying this the last couple of days. I've never, in all my years of covering baseball, I've never felt like the dumb guy, meaning me, the dumb guy, is absolutely right and the smart people are wrong. And that was a perfect example of that. Where you said, we have to, I'm going to paraphrase, but we have to go with what is regularly going to work. Like, that's the problem, is that you can't, there isn't a science to making baseball decisions. And I'll give you one small example. I watched a documentary on the Dodgers-Yankees World Series. If you go watch that, remember, at the end of the game that they closed it out, the Dodgers, Blake Treinen is Dave Roberts comes out and says, this is going to be your last batter. This is going to be your last batter. Okay. Everyone's good. Well, one pitch. It took him one pitch. Now he has to face, I forget who he had to face, but Dave Roberts, the guy who was burnt by exactly what we're talking about, obviously in the 2018 World Series, Dave Roberts talks about how he looked out to Freddie Freeman. And Freddie Freeman, to see his reaction, to see his face, about how he felt about his pitcher, what he should be doing. Like, there isn't, you cannot, what Craig Breslow is trying to do, you cannot say that, you cannot do that in the world of baseball. Yeah, you do take everything. You do take the whole ball of wax in terms of, we have all this information, we feel this way, what decision do we feel it's going to be made? And really, even when you have all the information, even when you have all the analytics, even when you have all the science, it still comes down to the gut decision. Should I listen to that? The answer is, what do I feel is the absolute best thing to go with? And we can't just say, well, we're going to measure how many times this works, and we're going to measure how many times that works, and out of 10 times, this time's worked 6 times, so that's the way we're going to go. That is, it's just so flawed.
The way it really should be, because obviously if you're the manager in the dugout, you watch the game, you watch it pitch by pitch, you see how your guys are looking, and you know what you would do in a spot. The analytics should just be providing context for the decisions that you're making. Analytics shouldn't be driving decision making. Analytics should just be sort of ensuring that you're not making a decision that the data says is going to backfire. Like, the game should be managed by the manager, who, by the way, managed circles around every team that he faced in 2018 in the postseason when he was managing, making decisions off the top of his dome. Like,
I'll get your guys' take on this. Is that in that respect, like, we've done this show enough where, especially in the last month, where people are saying Coors having his worst year, Coors not having a good year, so forth and so on, And certainly in this last week, there's been decisions where you're like, oh, well, that didn't work out. That seems like it would always work out for Gordon. It didn't work out. And we don't have proof of this, but I do feel like this Alex Cora is not the Alex Cora that I have seen in different aspects of it. And I think he's a very good manager. He's proven that. He's a very good manager in a lot of ways. So what is the biggest difference? If we want to play this game about, all right, let's put all the things in each category and let's weigh it all in. Well, the category which I'm saying has changed, which is the amount of voices and the amount of information that Alex Cora has to weigh in. I'll come back to what Joe Maddon said after he was let go. I thought this was so telling. It's like the biggest difference in managing is that when the game starts, the first pitch is thrown, you have seven voices in your head. And I think to this point, Cora has done a really, really good job of managing all this. But when I hear Craig Breslow talk about Crochet decision and that soundbite and everything else, I'm saying, well, this isn't how Alex Cora operated before. This, at least, I mean, and all we have to go by are the soundbites, are the reactions, are the results. Am I wrong, fellas?
Do you think it's a matter of, I mean, because this is Breslow's second year of his first time even being a top, what, one, two? What was he in Chicago? Like their number five, six guy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
So I'm just saying, like,
it was also option number 12 in the search.
Right, but I'm just saying he's learning here. And is this just a product of, okay, this is an Ivy League guy who has used numbers and data for everything he's ever done in his life, and he's just now realizing maybe there's a lot more that goes into these.
So the dangerous thing, I think, is that I'll preface this once again, saying we can only know what we know. This is whether it's behind the scenes, whether it's in front of the scenes, whether it's sound bites, whether it's reactions, whatever it is. But the perception, and not only with me, but in people in baseball, is that you have this guy who played the game, and this is, okay, he knows what it takes. And we've heard that from him before, and maybe we're going to get examples of this. But the perception in baseball is that he has leaned so far the other way, the other side of his brain, which is, I'm a really smart guy, which he is, and I'm going to lean to the analytics. I'm going to lean to what the baseball scientists tell me because it really interests me in all that. Look at how many people they brought. I mean, they hired half of Driveline, right?
Yep.
And think going back to the postseason press conference this past year. Forget about, you know, like Cora got up there and said, well, our problems are in the rear view. Yeah, we've seen the last of them. Whatever
last
he says.
Year, last struggle.
Last struggles, right? Craig Breslow, the only thing he highlighted was the head of baseball science that he just hired, which was weird to me. Like, fine, that's great, congratulations, but that's weird, and that sort of, I think, tells you the mindset of where you're leaning. Of you have so much information and it's all cool stuff, but I'll come back to, I can rant about this, guys, Joe Braverman and Gordo. I can rant about this, but the reality is they can still figure this out. You just have to find the lane. Like, it doesn't feel like they've found this lane, this right lane, this perfect way to marry the two sides of things, whether it's personnel or whether it's decision-making during the game. You just haven't found that way, and maybe they do this weekend. I don't know. But doesn't it feel that way, Joe? Yes or no?
There is some kind of indecisiveness that I do see that I look at last night's game specifically, that all the decisions that Cora was making were all, at least from a 3,000-foot view, was a gut decision. You know, bringing in Brennan Bernardino to face one pitcher, to stick with Abraham Toro, even Mike Brenly on the challenge, those all felt like gut decisions and they weren't analytically driven, whereas you look at all the decisions he's made in the past, you can make the argument of, oh, well, the matchup here is really good. I don't want to go to him just yet. I look specifically at last night on how Cora, I'm not going to say he acted independently, but he had his own thoughts going.
I think last night was a case, I think it was more of like how the two things can be married. Like the Giolito taking him out, like I'm sure that the research and development department was like, that's the move.
You don't need analytics to see his career against
Matt
Olson.
Right, exactly. But that's the move. And like, don't get so like hard-headed that you're gonna power through this and you're gonna get Giolito the win. And they probably embraced that, and Coro embraced it. Like, that's what he's done before. The weird thing about that, about the way that they've been doing things in that respect, and one of the things that Brezzo kept coming back to in that interview was we gotta do a better job of making the right pitches at the right time and getting that wonky in that respect. But if you go back to the first month, guys, the first month their starters were the second most innings in baseball.
Yeah.
They were letting guys, I think they had the most pitches third time to the order than any staff in baseball.
Well, Rob, to me, it feels similar to how it did. It wasn't last year, it was the year before, Himes last year in Boston, the deadline where all they did was acquire Luis Urias. And they managed the bullpen really aggressively leading up to that deadline to win games, to keep them in contention, to kind of make sure that this front office didn't trade guys like Justin Turner, Adam Duvall, didn't sell off pieces like that. It kind of feels like maybe they're feeling a little bit of heat with a lot of the losing lately, and maybe that's contributing to them being more aggressive. Like, we've seen Brian Baio falter at the end of starts so many times. Like, we cannot afford to watch that happen again with the losing streak.
And that's the problem, though, is that you're in that mindset instead of the mindset in 2018, which we know was a far better team, where you said, hey, Mookie, you just hit a grand slam, you're sitting the next day. You know, that like that whole thing, like, just don't worry about it.
Yeah, when you have a great team full of great players, yeah, you can afford
to. We're going to play with the long haul because it's going to pick up the slack. You don't have that luxury now.
Like, no, you got to win games now.
Well, not only you got to win games now, but you have to start, like, basically identifying yourself. Tony in Bridgewater. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hey, what's happening, Rob? You're finally making sense today, brother.
Thank you.
The problem with the Red Sox, and I don't think it's going to get done this year, the dysfunction on this team with people going to different Breslow, Henry, and Cora, they're not only on the same page. You don't have to be a genius to figure it out. But even the best managers, and I like Cora, even the best managers, they ran out of time. You know, Francona did, what, 9 years? I honest to God think Breslow, first of all, Breslow should go. That guy is a complete nerd. I know he played baseball, but give me a break. The guy, he's been a puppet, and now he's off on his own, and it's a pretty bad situation. I would kick Cora upstairs, put Veritek or something managing. I think you have some, functional people. I just think I see Cora not the same guy. I don't know if his heart's not in it or he got the money and said, I'm comfortable. I don't know what it is.
It's different. Yeah, Tony, thanks for the call. We're going to get going. I do want to address the Cora thing after the break because I think it's worth diving into it because this is part of – when we're talking about – you guys have heard the narratives. You guys talked about it on your podcast. There's Devers, there's Cora, there's these things. Well, let's make some sense of this stuff as best we can. I think that Cora existence is something that I think that I have a perspective of why we're seeing this version of him – compared to, again, the 2018 version. It's just different. Anyway, 617-779-7937. Joe Braverman, say hello.
Hi, everybody.
All right, Joe. Gordo, say hello.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, look at you guys. Mitch, say hello.
Hey.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Everybody.
All right. This is the Baseballs and Boring. They should do, Mitch, in these Breslow interviews, is drop in Ace of Spades, like Motorhead, in between like every answer.
I'll let him know. I think that'll jazz him up.
I'm just in the middle of an answer.
So they asked him what his favorite band was like about a year ago, and I think he said
Pearl Jam.
Yeah. And so ever since then, he regrets it to this day, because every single time they come in with a new Pearl Jam song, and it's hilarious.
It's a tough one. I wouldn't ask Gordo that, because he would say, I only know bits and pieces of music. All right, this is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Joe Braverman, producer of the Play Tessie podcast. Gordo, part of the Play Tessie podcast. All with us, Mitch behind the glass. And I said before the break, I was going to tell you my take on sort of how Core is managing. Real quick, before we get to Justin Washington, I will just say this. When I've seen managers have a hard time, managers who I have seen perform before, it's not having a good grasp of what you have. Like, what you have. Like, when you know, when you can lock in on roles, bullpen roles, whatever it is, pinch hitting roles, when you can lock in on that, then that's when you're at your best. And I think Cora has done a good job of that in years past, of locking in. This time, it sort of goes to the bigger picture, which is, I think they're trying to figure out all this. Yeah, they've been throwing some curveballs with Bregman and Casas and all this stuff. And Hauk, but let's not forget Hauk. Like, yeah, but you have to start locking in on exactly what you have. An example I would give the other day, a pinch hitting Marcelo Meyer, pinch hitting Christian Campbell for Marcelo Meyer against a lefty, right? I was like, well, I get it. You know, you're putting up a righty, but you're also putting up a righty who has the worst OPS in baseball.
And hasn't hit left-handers all year.
And hasn't hit left-handers. And, yeah, he ended up walking, but then he had to play the field, and he didn't make a good play in the field. That's not your best team in the field. And also, I want to see if Marcelo Meyer can hit lefties. One of the things I love about Marcelo Meyer is that there hasn't been a player to come up like him in a long time. Not only is talented, but also as confident.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the big one.
Yeah.
Confidence.
That's what you get with Marcelo. It's like, yeah, it's just
no, confident. And that's one of the things I want to ask. I want to ask Brian Abraham too about that dynamic, about mindset, personality, like how you factor that in. Okay, Justin in Washington. Hey, can we go to Justin real quick? Justin in Washington. Hey, Justin, thanks for hanging on. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Bradford, I've been waiting for this show for a week because it's the best baseball show on the radio.
Thank you. I just want to say
thank you guys, and a big shout-out to McFarland.
Yes,
thank you.
My question for you is, I really struggle with blaming Cora for how he is managing this pitching rotation, and it's because I think Breslow just, quite frankly, didn't provide him enough. You can't have a pitching rotation with only one guy that can go five innings consistently or more in Garrett Crochet, and a bullpen that I would argue is too high leverage arm short. So now you have Cora trying to mix and match. And the two points I'd like to make is, number one, this is a results-oriented business. So Breslow needs to produce, even if everybody liked the moves he made in the offseason, the bottom line is wins and losses in production. Number two, this isn't hindsight, but fans and you guys aren't getting paid millions of dollars with an analytics staff that's also being paid millions of dollars to figure this stuff out. So Hauk had never put together more than half a good season as a starter. Bayo had always struggled to go five innings and, quite frankly, only put together half a good season last year. And Walker Buehler had been injured for the last three seasons and pitches 20 pitches an inning. So he never goes deep in these games. Instead of signing Nick Pivetta, who might win the Cy Young this year in the National League, instead of trading away Chris Sale for a bag of baseballs, who won the Cy Young last year in the National League, instead of shelving the money for Buehler and Sandoval and Hendricks and Giolito and putting it into somebody like Luis Severino, who could be a number two, Breslow, with his Ivy League education, which I'm not besmirching, thinks he's smarter than everybody and went bargain hunting. And as we saw at the deadline last year with Luis Garcia and Lucas Sims, this guy cannot identify solid pitching unless it is a low leverage bullpen arm like Greg Weiser or an absolute stud like Garrett Crochet. And I believe, I'll finish on this, the pitching is the biggest problem for this team. And I think it's a cop-out if media folks say all of your analysis is hindsight. Breslow's the one getting paid millions to be right about this stuff.
Great call, Justin. Thank you, man. Call back anytime. Great call. I mean,
some
it's,
interesting things in
there. No, there absolutely is, and I want to get to it. I want to get to John and Gardner first before we hit the break and talk to Brian Abraham. Hey, John, how are you?
Good afternoon, boys. I'm very good, Rob. Thank you. Hey, do you think Cora's lost any confidence in his own ability to manage and make the right calls and judge the personalities and handle them the right way?
No, I think that once again, he hasn't locked in on exactly how this team should be managed. I mean, that's the best way I can. And guys, another part of this equation, which isn't helping, let's be honest, is the Devers situation.
I could talk about that.
Right? Hours. And we will. I mean, after we talked to Brian Abraham, we can talk about the Devers situation. And these people who say, oh, my, let's leave him alone. He's hitting. Don't worry about it. Just, hey, they know what they're doing. Of course, it's an old news thing. No, that's not the point. That's not the point with Devers. The point with Devers is a perception about the team, about the clubhouse, and all of it. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.